Confidence is not about being the loudest person in the room. It's not about showing off, chasing approval, or trying to prove your worth to others. Real confidence is calm. It's steady. It's the quiet power that makes people stop and notice without you having to demand their attention. And the highest form of confidence is this: when nothing shakes you, nothing provokes you, and nothing controls you. Most people go through life reacting to everything, to criticism, to rejection, to chaos, to the opinions of others, and every reaction takes away a piece of their power. But when you learn to react to nothing, you stop giving away your energy. You become untouchable. You move through the world with a kind of presence that is both rare and dangerous, the kind of confidence that cannot be faked. In this audiobook, we will break down exactly how to build that kind of confidence. You will learn how to silence self-doubt, control your emotions, detach from outcomes, and carry yourself with the authority of someone who needs nothing and fears nothing. Each chapter will give you practical steps and timeless truths that, if applied, will transform not just how you feel about yourself, but how the world responds to you. This is not about pretending. This is about becoming. So take a deep breath, clear your mind, and prepare to step into the strongest version of yourself. Let's begin. Chapter 1. Stop explaining yourself. One of the fastest ways people drain their confidence is by constantly explaining themselves. Think about it. How many times have you found yourself giving long, unnecessary explanations just so people wouldn't judge you? Maybe you were late, and instead of simply saying thank you for waiting, you launched into a 5-minute speech about traffic, your alarm, or how your phone died. Or maybe someone questioned one of your decisions, and you felt the need to justify every detail just to feel understood. Here's the truth. Confident people don't do that. They don't live in apology mode. They don't scramble to prove themselves to everyone. Why? Because they know their worth is not up for debate. When you stop explaining yourself, you instantly project strength. Your words carry more weight. Your presence commands more respect. Now, I'm not saying you should become rude or dismissive. This isn't about arrogance. This is about knowing when to keep it short, clear, and firm. Instead of justifying every move, you learn to stand by your choices. If someone asks why you're doing something, you don't need a full essay. A simple, confident response is enough. Think about how powerful it feels when someone says, "I chose this because it's right for me," and then stops. No over-explaining, no backpedaling, just calm certainty. That's confidence. Every time you explain yourself unnecessarily, you send a silent message. I need your approval to feel okay. But every time you keep it short and let your choice stand on its own, you send a louder message. I don't need your permission. Here's a challenge for you, for the next week. Catch yourself in the act. The moment you start piling on excuses or long explanations, stop. Replace them with something simple, firm, and direct. I can't make it. I've decided to go this way. That doesn't work for me. And then be silent. Let the silence carry the weight of your confidence. At first, it will feel uncomfortable. You'll feel the urge to fill the space, to justify, to soften your words. But with practice, you'll discover something life-changing. The less you explain, the stronger you feel. People begin to take you more seriously. And most importantly, you begin to take yourself more seriously. Dangerous confidence begins with this small but powerful shift. Stop explaining. Stop over-justifying. Trust your choices. Stand by your words. Because the moment you no longer feel the need to explain yourself to everyone, you've already taken your first step toward becoming untouchable. Chapter 2. Master your inner voice. If you want to become dangerously confident, you have to start with the voice that speaks the most to you, the one in your own head. That voice is either your greatest weapon or your biggest enemy. It's either building you up, or it's tearing you down. And here's the thing most people never realize. The way you speak to yourself in private eventually shows up in how you show up in public. Think about it. If your inner voice is constantly saying, "I'm not good enough, I always mess things up, people are probably judging me," how do you think you'll act when you walk into a room? Nervous, hesitant, small. But if your inner voice says, "I can handle this, I've done harder things before, I'm exactly where I need to be," you walk into the same room, taller, calmer, and sharper. Same person, different voice. And that difference changes everything. Confidence doesn't start with applause, achievements, or attention. It starts in your mind. It starts with the words you allow to echo inside your head. You can't control what everyone says about you, but you can control what you repeat to yourself every day. The mistake people make is waiting for life to validate them before they change that inner voice. They think, "Once I succeed, I'll feel confident. Once people respect me, I'll talk to myself better." But it works the other way around. You don't wait for proof. You create proof. You start speaking to yourself like someone worthy of respect, and then your actions begin to follow that belief. Here's the secret. Your brain believes repetition. Whatever you repeat to yourself becomes your truth. Say you're weak long enough, and you'll start to shrink into weakness. Say you're capable, strong, and calm long enough, and you'll start to rise to meet those words. The inner voice is like a thermostat. It sets the temperature of your confidence. If it's low, you'll always sink back down, no matter how much outside success you taste. If it's high, you'll rise above challenges because you believe you belong at that level. So, how do you master this inner voice? Start by catching it in the act. Pay attention to the quiet lines you whisper to yourself during the day. When you mess up, do you say, "I'm so stupid," or do you say, "That's okay, I'll do better next time"? When you look in the mirror, do you find every flaw, or do you remind yourself that you're showing up, you're improving, and you're worthy? These small moments shape everything. The goal isn't fake positivity. You don't have to tell yourself you're perfect. Dangerous confidence isn't about lying to yourself. It's about speaking with strength, even when things aren't perfect. It's about choosing words that build, not words that destroy. For example, instead of "I can't handle this," you say, "This is hard, but I'll figure it out." Instead of "I always fail," you say, "Every setback teaches me something that makes me stronger." When you start directing your inner voice, instead of letting it run wild, you'll notice something powerful. You'll stop reacting so harshly to challenges, criticism, and rejection. Why? Because your mind is already trained to back you up. It becomes your strongest ally, instead of your worst critic. Let me give you a challenge. For the next 30 days, every morning tell yourself three things out loud. "I respect myself. I can handle anything that comes today. I don't need anyone's approval to move forward." It may feel awkward at first, but say those lines every day and watch how your body starts to carry them. Watch how your energy changes in conversations. Watch how you walk into situations differently. Your inner voice is the foundation of your confidence. Master it, and you won't just appear confident. You'll feel it in your bones. And once you feel it, no one can take it from you. Because here's the truth. Confidence isn't what happens when others believe in you. Confidence is what happens when you believe in yourself first. And that belief begins with the voice inside your head. Chapter 3. Build respect before confidence. Every kind of lasting confidence starts with one simple truth. You cannot feel powerful if you don't respect yourself first. Respect is the foundation. Without it, confidence is nothing more than an act, a mask you wear to convince others while deep down you're still unsure. But when you build real self-respect, confidence stops being an act. It becomes who you are. Think about how you treat people you respect. You listen to them. You value their time. You trust their decisions. Now ask yourself honestly, do you treat yourself the same way? Or do you cut yourself down with criticism, ignore your needs, and allow people to cross your boundaries because deep down you don't see yourself as worthy? The truth is, the way you treat yourself sets the standard for how the world treats you. If you disrespect your own time, others will too. If you speak poorly to yourself, you'll tolerate others speaking the same way. But when you start showing yourself respect, when you hold yourself to a higher standard, people around you sense it. They respond differently. And that is where dangerous confidence begins to take shape. Self-respect doesn't come from big achievements. It comes from the small, daily choices that tell your mind, I matter. Keeping promises to yourself, following through when you say you'll do something, not settling for situations that go against your values. Each act of respect you show yourself builds strength inside you. When you wake up early because you said you would, that's respect. When you walk away from a toxic conversation instead of trying to win approval, that's respect. When you set a boundary and hold it, that's respect. Every one of these choices may look small on the outside, but together they create the deep, unshakable feeling that you can trust yourself. And once you trust yourself, confidence flows naturally. Here's the key: respect yourself first, and the world has no choice but to adjust. You no longer beg for recognition. You no longer explain or prove your worth. You know it, and because you know it, others see it. So if you want to build confidence that lasts, don't start with fake pep talks. Start with respect. Start with the way you talk to yourself, the way you carry yourself, and the way you hold yourself to a higher standard. Confidence without respect is empty. But respect that is practiced every day will eventually overflow into confidence so strong, it cannot be broken. And once you've built that, no one can take it away. Chapter 4. Kill the need for approval. One of the biggest traps that steals confidence is the constant need for approval. You know what I mean? That itch inside that asks, do they like me? Do they agree with me? Am I good enough in their eyes? It's subtle, but it controls so many people's lives. They dress not for themselves, but for what others might say. They post on social media, not to share, but to be validated. They chase compliments, avoid criticism, and feel crushed when someone doesn't clap for them. Here's the problem: when your confidence depends on approval, it will always be fragile, because approval can be given, and approval can be taken away. One moment, people are cheering for you. The next moment, they're criticizing you. And if your self-worth rises and falls with their reactions, you'll live like a puppet, pulled by strings you can't control. The truth is, no one in this world owes you approval, and no one's opinion should have the power to define you. When you kill the need for approval, you free yourself. You stop chasing applause and start focusing on living with authenticity. You stop bending your life to fit other people's expectations and start building a life that feels right to you. That's where dangerous confidence comes from. Think about the people you admire the most. Are they the ones who try to please everyone? Or are they the ones who stand firm, even when people disagree? It's always the second group. Because real strength is not in being liked by all, it's in being respected for standing true. Now let me be clear. There's nothing wrong with enjoying praise. There's nothing wrong with being happy when someone appreciates your work. The problem comes when you need it, when you depend on it to feel valuable. The moment you depend on it, you hand over your power. You give other people the remote control to your emotions. And let me tell you, people change channels fast. So how do you kill this need? Start small. Practice saying no without explaining. Practice making decisions based on what you know is right for you, even if others won't understand. Remind yourself daily, their approval is optional. My self-respect is not. You'll notice something powerful when you stop chasing approval. At first, some people won't like it. They might call you arrogant, selfish, or stubborn. But stay steady. Because in time, those same people will begin to respect you more than they ever did when you were bending for their acceptance. Why? Because people may enjoy it when you seek their approval, but they admire it when you don't need it. Dangerous confidence is born when you walk into a room and don't wonder, will they like me? Instead you think, do I respect myself in how I show up here? That shift changes everything. It takes you out of the role of performer and puts you in the role of leader. The world doesn't need another person begging for likes, chasing applause, or waiting for permission. The world respects the person who doesn't need any of it. The one who moves forward with or without approval. The one who lives as though they already have everything they need inside. And that can be you. The day you stop chasing approval, you step into a new kind of freedom. You stop reacting to every comment, every look, every bit of criticism. You start living on your own terms. That's when people notice you, not because you ask them to, but because they can't ignore someone who doesn't need their validation. And that right there is dangerous confidence. Chapter 5. Respond with silence, not emotion. One of the greatest signs of confidence is not how loud you can be, but how quiet you can remain. Most people believe strength is about having the last word, about showing everyone how smart or sharp they are. But true strength is often the opposite. It's the ability to stay calm, stay silent, and not be pulled into every emotional battle. Think about it. How often do people lose their power because they couldn't keep quiet? Someone criticizes them, and they snap back. Someone disrespects them, and they explode. Someone challenges them, and they rush to defend themselves. In that moment, they think they're showing strength, but really, they're showing that their emotions are in control. And when your emotions control you, your power is gone. Silence, on the other hand, is disarming. It's unsettling. When people expect a reaction, and you give them nothing, they don't know how to handle it. They push, and you don't move. They attack, and you stay steady. That's what makes silence powerful. It shows that you are not easily shaken, that you cannot be manipulated. Now, let's be clear. Silence doesn't mean weakness. It doesn't mean you let people walk all over you. It means you choose your responses carefully. It means you refuse to waste energy on pointless battles. When you respond with silence, instead of raw emotion, you buy yourself time to think. You give yourself space to decide if the situation even deserves your attention. Imagine someone trying to provoke you. Maybe they insult you in front of others, expecting you to blow up. Most people would take the bait. But if you stay calm, if you look at them and simply choose silence, suddenly the spotlight shifts. They start to look foolish, not you. Why? Because you've shown that their words didn't penetrate. You've shown that you are in control. There's another layer to this. Silence not only protects your power, it also makes your words stronger when you finally choose to speak. If you speak less, but with calm authority, people listen. They know you don't waste words. They know if you're speaking, it matters. That's how leaders talk. That's how confident people carry themselves. So how can you practice this? Start by noticing your triggers. Pay attention to the moments when you feel your emotions boiling. When someone criticizes you, when they disagree, when they mock, that's the moment to pause. Don't rush to react. Breathe. Let silence do the work for you. 9 times out of 10, you'll realize that you don't even need to respond. And in the rare times you do, your response will come from strength, not impulse. You don't owe everyone a reaction. You don't have to defend yourself every time someone questions you. You don't have to fight every little battle. Sometimes, the strongest thing you can do is nothing at all. Silence is not empty, it's full of power. Think about how this changes the way people see you. The person who reacts emotionally is predictable, easy to control, but the person who can stay silent, calm, and unbothered, that person is dangerous. Because you can't push them around. You can't get under their skin. You can't break their focus. Dangerous confidence is not in shouting louder than others. It's in standing tall, while others shout at you, and you don't move. It's in choosing silence, when others expect a storm. It's in showing that your emotions belong to you, not to anyone else. The next time someone tries to pull you into their drama, remember this. Silence is your shield, silence is your strength, and silence is your power. Use it, and you'll discover just how unshakable you can be. Chapter 6. Let your body speak first. Before you ever open your mouth, your body is already telling the world who you are. People see how you walk, how you stand, how you sit, how you look at them, and in just a few seconds, they've already formed an opinion. Long before you've said a single word. That's the silent language of confidence, and it's often louder than anything you could ever say. Here's the truth. If your words and your body language don't match, people will always believe your body. You can say, I'm confident, but if you're slouched over, avoiding eye contact, fidgeting with your hands, nobody buys it. On the other hand, you could say very little, but if your posture is strong, your eyes steady, your movements calm, people feel your presence. So what does it mean to let your body speak first? It means you walk into a room like you belong there. It means you stand tall, shoulders back, chest open, head held high, not in arrogance, but in quiet certainty. It means your handshake is firm, not rushed. It means you make eye contact without flinching, without darting away, without apologizing for being seen. Think about the people you naturally respect when they walk in. They don't have to announce themselves. They don't have to prove anything. Their presence says it all. That's not an accident. That's body language. Your body is always training your mind, too. If you sit small, you feel small. If you carry yourself like you're hiding, your mind starts to believe you should hide. But if you sit upright, if you expand your posture, if you move with purpose, your mind receives the message, I am strong, I am steady, I belong here. The mind and body are connected. And if you want confidence, sometimes the fastest way to shift your mind is to shift your body first. Now don't mistake this for acting or pretending. This isn't about faking who you are. It's about removing the signals that sabotage you. It's about cutting out the habits that make you look uncertain, the hunched shoulders, the nervous fidgeting, the darting eyes. Those little habits send out silent messages that you don't even notice, but others pick up on immediately. And once you cut them, you start carrying yourself differently. Here's a practical tip. The next time you walk into a room, pause at the doorway. Take one calm breath. Straighten your posture. Roll your shoulders back, lift your head slightly, and then walk in at a steady pace. No rush, no hurry. Just presence. That single adjustment changes how people see you and how you see yourself. Another tip, practice holding eye contact, not in a creepy, overbearing way, but in a calm, steady way that says, I see you, and I'm comfortable being seen. Most people break eye contact too quickly, because they feel insecure. Train yourself to hold it just a second longer. That second communicates confidence without a word. When your body speaks confidence, you don't need to oversell yourself. You don't need to push too hard to be noticed. People simply feel it. And here's the secret. When they feel it, they treat you differently. They listen closer. They respect your space. They trust your words more. Dangerous confidence is not about shouting louder. It's about walking into a space with such quiet certainty that people can't ignore you, even if you never raise your voice. Your body tells the story before your mouth ever does, so let your body speak first. Train it to send the right message. Walk tall, sit steady, look people in the eye. Move with intention, because when your body communicates strength, your words only need to confirm what people already believe, that you are someone worth listening to. Chapter 7. Stop reacting. Start leading. Most people live their lives in reaction mode. Something happens, and they respond. Someone criticizes them, and they defend themselves. Someone disrespects them, and they snap back. Someone praises them, and suddenly they feel good about themselves. They are constantly at the mercy of whatever comes their way. That's not confidence, that's dependency. And as long as you're reacting, you're not leading. Think about it. The person who reacts is always one step behind. They're letting the world dictate their mood, their energy, their choices. But the person who leads, they set the tone. They decide the direction. They don't wait to see what happens before they act. They create what happens. That's the difference between living as a follower of circumstance and living as the leader of your own life. Here's the hard truth. When you react to everything, people learn how to control you. They push your buttons, and you respond right on cue. They know what words will make you angry, what actions will make you defensive, what silence will make you insecure. But when you stop reacting, when you stay calm and steady, suddenly those same people lose their grip. They can't manipulate you anymore. That's where confidence begins to look dangerous, because you become untouchable. Leading doesn't always mean leading others. It starts with leading yourself. It means choosing your actions instead of letting them be chosen for you. It means setting the pace instead of trying to keep up with someone else's. It means asking yourself, what do I want to create here? Instead of how should I respond to what just happened? Let's make this practical. Imagine you're in a meeting and someone challenges your idea. The reactive person defends themselves right away, sometimes even with anger. The leader pauses, listens, and calmly responds with clarity, or sometimes chooses not to respond at all, but to redirect the conversation back to the bigger picture. That single choice shifts the whole energy of the room. Or think about relationships. When you're reacting, you're constantly adjusting to someone else's moods. If they're upset, you're upset. If they're happy, you're happy. But when you lead, you set the emotional tone. You stay steady, regardless of their swings. And often, they follow your calm instead of you following their chaos. Leadership is not about controlling others. It's about controlling yourself, so completely that you influence everything around you. People naturally follow those who are steady, who are clear, who are not tossed around by every little wave. And you don't need a title, a position, or a spotlight to be that person. You just need discipline over yourself. So how do you shift from reacting to leading? Start by slowing down. Don't give your emotions the driver's seat. Pause before you respond. Ask yourself, what outcome do I want here, and how can I create it? That 1 second of thought can completely change your direction. Next, set intentions before situations even happen. If you're about to walk into a stressful environment, decide in advance. I will remain calm. I will speak clearly. I will not let anyone push me off balance. When you enter with that mindset, you lead the situation instead of reacting to it. And finally, remember this. Leading isn't about proving yourself. It's about owning yourself. You don't have to win every argument. You don't have to control every detail. You just have to control you. That calm, centered control is magnetic. People can feel it. They start looking to you without you ever asking for it. Dangerous confidence is born when you stop giving the world the power to dictate your actions. When you stop reacting to everything and start leading with intention, you rise above the noise. You stop playing defense and start directing the game. And once you make that shift, you're no longer at the mercy of life. Life is at the mercy of you. Chapter 8. Embrace discomfort until it feels normal. Confidence is not built in comfort. It's built in the uncomfortable places most people try to avoid. Think about it. The moments that made you stronger were never the easy ones. They were the ones where you felt nervous, unprepared, maybe even afraid, but you stepped forward anyway. That's where growth lives. That's where dangerous confidence is born. Most people spend their lives running from discomfort. They choose what feels safe, what feels familiar, what doesn't stretch them too much. But the problem with that approach is simple. If you always choose comfort, you never expand. You stay the same. You play small. And deep down, you know it. That's why so many people secretly feel insecure, because their lives have no proof of their own strength. Confidence is not about telling yourself you're strong. It's about putting yourself in situations that show you that you are. When you embrace discomfort, you collect evidence. Every time you step into the unknown, every time you do something that scares you a little, you walk away with proof. I can handle this, and the more proof you gather, the more unshakable you become. Here's the secret. Discomfort doesn't go away. You never reach a point where life stops testing you, but you can train yourself to get comfortable being uncomfortable. That's the shift. Instead of seeing discomfort as danger, you start seeing it as training. Instead of running from it, you lean into it, and soon, what used to terrify you feels normal. Think about the first time you tried something new, maybe speaking in front of a group, starting a project, or walking into a room full of strangers. You probably felt nervous, maybe even shaky, but if you kept doing it, the fear faded. It became easier. Why? Because repetition rewires your brain. What once felt impossible becomes routine. That's the power of embracing discomfort. So how do you start? Begin small. Push yourself into situations that stretch you just beyond your comfort zone. Speak up in a meeting when you'd normally stay quiet. Strike up a conversation when you'd normally avoid it. Take on a challenge you'd usually decline. Every little push builds your capacity. Then go bigger. Take on goals that scare you, not because you might fail, but because they'll force you to grow. The gym teaches this principle well. If you only lift what's easy, you never build muscle. The growth happens when you pick up something heavy, when your body shakes, when you feel the strain. Life works the same way. Your mental and emotional muscles only grow under resistance. And here's what's beautiful. The more you embrace discomfort, the more resilient you become. You stop being afraid of failure, because you've faced it before. You stop avoiding challenges, because you've proven you can rise through them. You stop doubting yourself, because you have evidence that you can survive what others can't. That's the root of confidence, not words, but lived experience. So the next time you feel fear creeping in, pause and reframe it. Instead of saying, "I don't want to feel this," tell yourself, "This is where I get stronger." That simple shift changes everything. Suddenly, discomfort is not the enemy, it's your greatest teacher. Dangerous confidence is not about living an easy life, it's about living a life that constantly stretches you, constantly grows you, constantly reminds you of your own power. Embrace discomfort. Seek it. Live in it until it feels normal. Because once you do, nothing the world throws at you will ever feel too big. You'll have trained yourself to thrive, where others retreat. And that's when people begin to notice that quiet, steady power in you, the kind of confidence that cannot be broken. Chapter 9. Speak less, command more. Have you ever noticed how the most powerful people in the room are usually the quietest? They don't rush to fill every silence. They don't try to dominate the conversation with endless words. Instead, they wait. They listen. And when they finally do speak, everyone leans in. That is not an accident. That is confidence. Most people talk too much because they're uncomfortable with silence. They're afraid if they don't keep speaking, they'll lose attention or worse, they'll be forgotten. So they pile on words, explanations and stories, hoping to convince people of their worth. But here's the reality. The more you talk without purpose, the weaker your words become. Confidence is not about how much you say. It's about how much weight your words carry. And the way to give your words weight is simple. Speak less, mean more. Every sentence should have intention. Every response should have calmness. Every pause should remind people that you're not rushed, not desperate, not trying too hard. Think about this: when someone speaks constantly, people tune them out. But when someone holds back, speaks only when it matters, people pay attention. Silence builds anticipation. Few words delivered with clarity build authority. That's why leaders, true leaders, are never chatterboxes. They don't waste energy trying to be heard. They conserve energy and use their words like a sharp blade, precise, direct, effective. So how can you practice this? First, slow down. Don't rush to answer every question immediately. Give yourself a moment. That pause alone communicates confidence. It shows you're not scrambling for approval. You're choosing your response carefully. Second, trim the excess. Instead of long explanations, give simple, strong statements. Yes, no, that works for me. Short, clear, and firm. People respect that. Here's the other secret. Listening makes you more powerful than speaking. Most people listen only to reply. Confident people listen to understand. When you really hear someone, you gather information. You understand their motives, their fears, their strengths. And when you finally respond, your words are sharper because they're rooted in understanding. That makes you stand out instantly. Think about conversations you've had with people who barely let you finish a sentence. Didn't it feel like they were trying too hard? Now think about someone who looked you in the eye, listened without interruption, and then gave you a short but meaningful response. Which one felt more powerful? Always the second, because listening is a sign of control, and control commands respect. Of course, this doesn't mean you should become silent all the time. Confidence is not about withholding your voice completely. It's about balance. Speak when it matters. Stay quiet when it doesn't. Make silence your ally instead of your enemy. There's another layer here. When you speak less, you give others space to reveal themselves. People often expose their insecurities, their weaknesses, their intentions, when you just let them keep talking. Meanwhile, you stay calm, observant, and in control. That's an advantage most people miss, because they're too busy trying to be heard. So here's your challenge. Over the next few days, practice cutting your words in half. When you're tempted to explain yourself, shorten it. When you're tempted to fill silence, hold it. When you feel the urge to prove something with words, stop and let your presence do the talking. You'll notice something powerful happen. People will start leaning in. They'll start asking for your opinion, instead of ignoring it. They'll respect your words more, because you don't throw them around carelessly. And most importantly, you'll feel a deeper sense of control, because you no longer speak out of insecurity, but out of choice. Dangerous confidence doesn't shout. It doesn't ramble. It doesn't beg to be heard. It speaks less, but commands more. And once you master that, you'll discover that silence, combined with the right words at the right time, is one of the most powerful tools you'll ever have. Chapter 10. Turn rejection into power. Rejection. Just the word makes most people uncomfortable. Nobody likes hearing no. Nobody enjoys being turned down, overlooked, or pushed aside. But here's the truth. Rejection is one of the most powerful tools for building confidence, if you learn how to use it. The difference between people who crumble under rejection and people who rise from it is simple. Perspective. Most people take rejection personally. They hear no and think it means, I'm not good enough. I'll never make it. I should give up. They attach rejection to their identity instead of seeing it for what it really is. Feedback. A redirection. A test. A moment designed to make them stronger, not smaller. Think about this. Some of the most successful, confident people in history faced rejection over and over again. Authors had their books turned down by dozens of publishers before becoming bestsellers. Entrepreneurs had their ideas laughed at before creating billion-dollar companies. Athletes were cut from teams before becoming legends. The rejection didn't destroy them, it built them. It toughened their skin. It forced them to sharpen their skills. It fueled their drive. That's what you have to train yourself to see. Rejection is not the end of your path. It's the sharpening stone for your confidence. Every no you face is an opportunity to grow more resilient, more determined, more dangerous in your certainty. Here's the shift you need to make. Stop asking, why me? And start asking, what can I take from this? Did rejection reveal a weakness you need to work on? Did it push you to try a different approach? Did it expose people or places that were never truly for you in the first place? Every rejection carries a lesson, if you're willing to listen. And let's be honest. Rejection stings because it pokes at our pride. It makes us feel exposed. But that sting is exactly what makes it powerful. It wakes you up. It pushes you to toughen up. You can't build real confidence in a world where everyone always says yes to you. That would only give you fragile confidence, the kind that shatters the first time life tells you no. Dangerous confidence, the kind we're talking about here, comes from being rejected and still standing tall. So how do you turn rejection into power? First, don't run from it. Expect it. Welcome it. Understand that rejection is proof you're stretching yourself. If you're never being told no, it means you're not aiming high enough. You're not risking enough. You're not putting yourself in places where growth happens. Second, detach rejection from your worth. A no to your idea, your request, or your effort is not a no to your value as a person. It's just information. Nothing more. Learn to separate the two, and rejection loses its ability to crush you. Third, use rejection as fuel. Let it light a fire under you. Let it push you to prove not to them, but to yourself, that you are capable of more. Think of every rejection as a weight in the gym. Each one makes you stronger, if you keep lifting. Here's a mindset you can carry. Every no brings you closer to the right. Yes. Every door that closes forces you to find a better door. Every person who turns you down makes room for the people who truly value you. Rejection clears the path for what's meant for you, but only if you keep walking forward. Dangerous confidence is not built by avoiding rejection. It's built by facing it head on, over and over, until no doesn't scare you anymore. Until you realize rejection doesn't define you, it refines you. So the next time you hear, no, don't shrink. Don't retreat, stand taller. Tell yourself, good, this is my chance to grow. This is proof I'm in the arena, not sitting on the sidelines. And then keep moving forward. Because the person who is no longer afraid of rejection is unstoppable, and that person can be you. Chapter 11. Detach from outcomes. One of the strongest moves you'll ever make in life is learning to let go of the outcome. Most people tie their entire sense of worth to results. If things go well, they feel good. If things fall apart, they feel broken. Their emotions rise and fall like a roller coaster because they're attached to what happens next. But confidence, real, dangerous confidence, comes when you learn to detach from outcomes and anchor yourself in who you are, not what happens. Think about it. How many times have you held back from taking action because you were afraid it wouldn't work out? You didn't apply for the job because you feared rejection. You didn't speak up because you worried about how people might react. You didn't take the risk because you were obsessed with the possibility of failure. That's attachment to outcome. It keeps you paralyzed, controlled by fear of what might or might not happen. But when you detach, something changes. You stop obsessing about whether people will like it, accept it, or applaud it. You give your best effort and let the results take care of themselves. That's where freedom lives. That's where you unlock a level of confidence most people never experience. Detachment doesn't mean you stop caring. It doesn't mean you don't try. It means you stop chaining your identity to the result. You focus on what you can control, your effort, your attitude, your preparation, and you release the rest. The outcome is feedback, not definition. Think of the athlete who trains for months, but knows they can't control the referee, the weather, or the opponent's performance. All they can control is how prepared they are, how much effort they bring, and how focused they stay. That's detachment. They give everything, but their self-worth isn't destroyed if the scoreboard doesn't go their way. They live to fight again. When you detach from outcomes, you also become harder to manipulate. People can't dangle rewards in front of you to control your actions. They can't threaten you with loss to make you desperate. You are free because you've already decided. Your value isn't tied to winning or losing, gaining or losing, being praised or being rejected. Here's a powerful truth. The more you cling, the weaker you feel. The more you need something to happen a certain way, the more anxious and insecure you become. But the moment you let go, the moment you say, "Whatever happens, I'll be fine," you gain strength. You act with more calm, more focus, more certainty. And ironically, that's usually when you perform your best, because you're no longer strangled by fear of the result. So how do you practice this? Start by shifting your language. Instead of saying, "I have to win," say, "I'll give my best, and whatever happens, I'll learn." Instead of saying, "I need them to like me," say, "I'll show up as myself, and the right people will respect that." Small shifts in language remind your mind that your value is not tied to the outcome. Next, focus on process over result. Build habits, routines, and standards that you control. If you want confidence in your work, don't obsess about the final product alone. Focus on doing the work consistently. If you want confidence in relationships, don't obsess over how others respond. Focus on showing up with authenticity and honesty. When you build your confidence on process, outcomes become secondary. And finally, remind yourself of this: you've survived every bad outcome in your life so far. Every failure, every disappointment, every rejection, you're still here, stronger, wiser, sharper. That's proof you don't need perfect results to be okay. You just need resilience. Dangerous confidence doesn't come from controlling outcomes. It comes from controlling yourself and trusting that whatever the result, you'll adapt, you'll grow, and you'll keep moving forward. So stop gripping so tightly. Give your best, stay true to yourself, and then let the outcome go. Because the moment you detach from results, you step into a new kind of freedom, the kind of confidence that nothing and no one can shake. Chapter 12. Set boundaries without apology. Confidence is not only about how you carry yourself in public, it's also about how you protect yourself in private. One of the clearest signs of true confidence is the ability to set boundaries and hold them, without apology, without guilt, and without flinching. Boundaries are not walls, they are lines that protect your time, your energy, and your self-respect. And if you don't set them, the world will gladly run right over you. Here's the reality: people will always take as much as you allow. If you give unlimited time, they'll take it. If you let them interrupt you, they'll keep doing it. If you never say no, they'll expect yes forever. That's not because people are always cruel. It's because human nature pushes against limits. And if you don't have limits, you'll always feel drained, resentful, and powerless. Confidence means you know your value. And when you know your value, you protect it. You don't throw your time away on things that don't matter. You don't allow toxic people to drain you. You don't keep saying yes when you know inside your answer should be no. Saying no doesn't make you selfish. It makes you strong. It proves that you respect yourself enough to protect your peace. Think about how many times you've said yes just to avoid conflict. Maybe you agreed to plans you didn't want, took on work you couldn't handle, or allowed someone to speak to you in a way that made you feel small. Each time you did, a little piece of your confidence weakened. Not because of what they did, but because of what you allowed. Confidence grows when you decide, this is where I draw the line. And here's the key, you don't need to justify your boundaries. Too often, people over-explain. They say, I'm sorry, I can't, because followed by a long list of reasons. But the truth is, no is a complete sentence. That doesn't work for me. I'm not available. I've decided not to do that. Short, calm, and unapologetic. That's strength. That's clarity. At first, setting boundaries feels uncomfortable. You'll feel guilty. You'll worry people will think you're cold or unkind. But over time, you'll realize something important. People actually respect you more when you have boundaries. They may not always like it in the moment, but they learn to take you seriously. They see that you are not easily manipulated, not desperate for approval, not willing to sell your peace for temporary comfort. And here's the bonus. The right people, the ones who genuinely care about you, will respect your boundaries. They'll honor them. They'll even admire them. It's the wrong people, the ones who want to take advantage, who will be upset. So when someone gets angry at your boundary, take it as confirmation that the boundary was necessary. Setting boundaries is not about pushing people away. It's about protecting your space so you can give your best to the things that truly matter. You can't pour into your goals, your dreams, or your relationships if you're constantly drained from saying yes to everything else. Boundaries are not selfish, they're essential. So how do you start? Begin with one simple area of your life where you feel resentment. That resentment is a signal that a boundary is missing. Maybe it's a coworker who keeps dumping extra work on you. Maybe it's a friend who takes more than they give. Maybe it's your own habit of overcommitting. Wherever you feel that tension, that's where a boundary is needed. Decide your line, then enforce it calmly. Confidence is not about pleasing everyone. It's about living with integrity to yourself. And integrity means protecting what matters, even when others don't understand. Dangerous confidence is when you can say no without shaking. When you can hold your ground without guilt. When you can protect your energy like it's the most valuable resource you own. Because it is. So set your boundaries, hold them firm, and never apologize for respecting yourself. Because once you master that, you'll discover that real confidence doesn't just come from what you say yes to, it comes from the power of what you refuse to accept. Chapter 13. Stand calm in chaos. Confidence isn't truly tested when things are going well. Anyone can look composed when life is smooth, when the plan is working, and when nothing unexpected shows up. But the real measure of confidence is how you carry yourself when chaos strikes. When the room gets loud, when people panic, when everything seems uncertain, that's when true confidence either collapses or shines. Most people fall apart in chaos. They rush, they panic, they overreact. Their emotions take control, and they make poor decisions because they're desperate to fix everything at once. But the ones who stand out, the ones who earn respect without even trying, are those who stay calm. They slow down when everyone else speeds up. They breathe when everyone else holds their breath. They keep their voice steady when everyone else is shouting. That calmness is rare, and that's what makes it powerful. Think about how you feel around someone who stays composed in stressful situations. You feel safer. You feel like things will be okay, even if they aren't yet. Their calm transfers to you. That's the power of presence. And the good news is, you can train yourself to become that person. It starts with recognizing that chaos itself doesn't break people, their reaction to chaos does. The event might be messy, the challenge might be tough, but it's your response that decides whether you crumble or rise. If you allow yourself to get swept up in the storm, you lose control. But if you anchor yourself in calm, you take control back. So how do you do it? Begin with your breathing. When chaos hits, your body's natural instinct is to tense up, breathe shallow, and prepare for fight or flight. That's when you must take control of your breath. Slow, steady breathing tells your body, "I am not in danger, I am in control." That one small act creates space between the chaos and your reaction. Next, manage your pace. In stressful situations, people tend to rush, as if speed will solve everything. But rushing often leads to mistakes, and mistakes create more chaos. The confident person doesn't hurry. They move deliberately, with clarity. Their pace communicates, "I am steady. I am not rattled." Then keep your voice low and calm. Chaos feeds off noise. If you match that noise with panic, you add fuel to the fire. But if you speak slower, softer, more grounded, people listen. You instantly shift the energy. Even if you don't have all the answers, your calm tone reassures others and positions you as someone to trust. Standing calm in chaos is not about pretending nothing is wrong. It's about refusing to let the chaos own you. It's about keeping your center when everything around you tries to pull you off balance. And when you do this consistently, people begin to notice. They see you as reliable. They see you as strong. They see you as a leader, even if you never asked for the role. But here's the deeper truth. Staying calm in chaos isn't just for others, it's for you. Because every time you stay grounded when life gets messy, you remind yourself of your own strength. You prove to yourself that storms don't break you, they reveal you. And that proof builds a confidence that lasts far beyond the moment. So the next time life throws chaos your way, and it will, pause. Breathe, slow down. Anchor yourself, decide in that moment that you will not be another panicked voice in the storm. You will be the calm in the room. Because dangerous confidence doesn't scream in chaos. It doesn't run. It doesn't collapse. It stands tall, steady and calm, no matter how loud the storm gets. And when you master that, nothing in this world can truly shake you. Chapter 14. Train until skill becomes certainty. Confidence isn't magic. It doesn't appear out of thin air. It isn't just a mindset or a positive affirmation whispered in the mirror. Real, lasting confidence is built on something much deeper. Competence. When you know you've put in the work, when you've trained yourself until a skill becomes second nature, you stop hoping you're good enough and start knowing you are. That shift from doubt to certainty is where dangerous confidence is born. Think about anything you've ever mastered, big or small. Maybe it was learning to drive, cooking a dish, or speaking in front of a group. At first you were nervous, you questioned yourself, but the more you practiced, the smoother it became. And one day what once felt terrifying started to feel natural. That's the power of training. Repetition turns fear into familiarity. Most people want confidence without putting in the reps. They want to feel certain before they've earned certainty. But it doesn't work that way. You don't wait to feel confident in order to act. You act again and again, until your actions create confidence. The truth is, skill builds belief. Every time you show up, every time you practice, Every time you push through mistakes, you carve confidence into your bones. And here's the key. It's not just about practicing, it's about practicing with intention. Half effort doesn't build confidence. Going through the motions doesn't create mastery. You have to push yourself past easy comfort. You have to stretch your limits. Because when you know you've trained harder, longer, and sharper than most people ever will, you walk into any room differently. You don't have to brag about it. You don't have to convince anyone. The certainty shows in how you move, how you speak, how you carry yourself. Think of a professional athlete stepping onto the field. They don't stand there wondering if they can do it. They've already trained for it 1,000 times. The repetition has built muscle memory. Their body knows what to do. Their mind knows they can handle the pressure. That's what training gives you. Certainty that no one can take away. Now imagine applying that same principle to your own life, to your career, to your communication, to your relationships. Imagine putting in the kind of practice where your skills are so sharp, you no longer question yourself. You just perform. That's the kind of quiet power that people feel without you having to announce it. So how do you start? First, identify the areas where doubt holds you back. Is it speaking with confidence? Is it leading others? Is it staying calm under pressure? Then commit to training that skill deliberately. Read, study, practice, and repeat until it becomes second nature. And don't quit when it feels uncomfortable. That's the sign you're actually growing. Second, embrace mistakes as part of the process. Every stumble is a lesson. Every failure is practice. Confidence isn't the absence of mistakes. It's the ability to keep going until those mistakes no longer control you. Third, measure your progress. Look back every few weeks and notice how far you've come. Confidence grows when you can see your own improvement. When you realize that what once scared you is now routine, something inside you shifts permanently. Here's the beauty of this approach. No one can take away what you've trained for. Compliments may fade, approval may vanish, but skill that stays with you, and skill builds certainty. Dangerous confidence isn't about puffing up your chest or pretending you're fearless. It's about doing the work behind the scenes until you can step forward with calm assurance. Until you don't have to tell yourself, "I think I can." Instead, you say, "I know I can." Train until the skill becomes certainty, because once you reach that point, you'll discover that true confidence doesn't need to be loud. It's steady, unshakable, and undeniable. And it comes from one thing: knowing you've earned it. Chapter 15. Live as if you need nothing. The ultimate level of confidence is when you live as if you need nothing. Not because you don't enjoy success, recognition, or relationships, but because you're not dependent on them. When your sense of worth, your peace, and your identity no longer hinge on what others give or take away, you step into a freedom most people never experience. Most people live in constant need. They need approval to feel secure. They need attention to feel important. They need results to feel proud of themselves. And because they need, they chase. They chase validation. They chase applause. They chase things that slip through their hands the moment they grasp them. And the more they chase, the weaker they feel. But imagine walking through life without that hunger for approval. Imagine pursuing your goals not because you need them to complete you, but because you choose them as an expression of who you already are. Imagine enjoying success, but not being defined by it. Imagine having relationships built on choice, not desperation. That's what it means to live as if you need nothing. It doesn't mean you stop caring. It doesn't mean you isolate yourself or reject good things. It means you build yourself up so strongly on the inside that you don't crumble if those things disappear. You carry your own validation, your own peace, your own power. That's what makes you dangerous, because no one can use need against you. Think about it. When someone desperately needs approval, they can be manipulated. When someone desperately needs money, they can be bought. When someone desperately needs love, they will settle for less than they deserve. Need is weakness. But when you move, as if you already have everything you need within yourself, you cannot be controlled. You cannot be bribed. You cannot be broken. This is the mindset of the strongest leaders, the most unshakable people. They enjoy success, but they're not enslaved by it. They enjoy relationships, but they're not defined by them. They enjoy progress, but they don't collapse if they face setbacks. Their identity isn't tied to outcomes, approval or possessions. Their confidence flows from within, not from outside. So how do you start living as if you need nothing? Begin by shifting your focus inward. Instead of asking, "What can people give me?" ask, "What can I give myself?" Respect, discipline, purpose, these are things no one can hand you, but you can build them daily. The more you provide for yourself, the less you crave from others. Next, practice gratitude. When you're grateful for what you already have, you stop obsessing over what you lack. Gratitude kills desperation. It reminds you that you're already rich in ways that matter, in lessons, in growth, in resilience. And finally, remind yourself that everything external is temporary. Money can be lost. Applause fades. People come and go. But who you are, what you stand for, and how you carry yourself, that's permanent. Build your foundation on that, and you'll never fear loss. Living as if you need nothing doesn't make you cold. In fact, it makes you more magnetic. People are drawn to those who don't beg for attention, who don't cling, who don't try too hard. Why? Because neediness repels, but strength attracts. The person who doesn't need anything carries an aura of abundance, and abundance is irresistible. This is the final stage of confidence. When you no longer chase approval, when you no longer fear rejection, when you no longer need validation, you are free. You act out of choice, not out of desperation. You give because you want to, not because you're hoping to get something back. You love because it's real, not because you're empty. Live as if you need nothing, because when you do, you will walk with a calmness that others envy, a certainty that others respect, and a power that nothing in this world can take away. That is dangerous confidence at its peak. Conclusion. Confidence is not about shouting louder than the rest of the world. It's not about forcing people to notice you, chasing approval, or pretending to be someone you're not. Confidence is calm, it's steady. It's the kind of presence that doesn't need to prove itself, because it already knows its own value. And the most dangerous form of confidence, the kind this audiobook has been guiding you toward, comes from one simple truth: you react to nothing, and therefore, nothing controls you. Over these chapters, we've walked through the principles that build that kind of unshakable self-belief. You've learned how to stop explaining yourself, how to master your inner voice, how to build respect before confidence, and how to kill the need for approval. You've discovered the power of silence, the authority of body language, and the shift from reacting to leading. You've been reminded that discomfort is where growth lives, that speaking less commands more, and that rejection can become your fuel. You've seen the strength in detaching from outcomes, setting boundaries without apology, standing calm in chaos, and training until skill becomes certainty. And finally, you've been shown the ultimate level of confidence, living as if you need nothing. This journey is not about perfection. It's about progress. It's about building yourself day by day into someone who no longer bends to every opinion, who no longer crumbles under pressure, who no longer waits for permission to step into their own power. True confidence is quiet, but it's undeniable. It doesn't need to announce itself, because it's written in the way you move, the way you speak, and the way you carry yourself through the storms of life. So take these lessons and live them. Don't just understand them in theory, apply them. Use them in conversations, in challenges, in the moments when life tries to shake you. And remember, this is not about becoming someone else. It's about becoming the strongest version of yourself. Because when you learn to react to nothing, you gain control over everything. You become untouchable. You become steady in a world full of noise. You become a person others can't ignore, not because you demand attention, but because your presence itself commands it. That is the power of dangerous confidence. And it's already inside you, waiting to be claimed. Now go out and live it.